Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Larry Kelto, the creator of a popular new website for the self-employed called thesolopreneurlife.com. He's got a great new book out called The Solopreneur Life, 42 sole business owners speak the truth on dreaming big, failing forward, and calling your own shots. It's available as an ebook or a print book at Amazon. Stick around. One day, this whole working for yourself thing may very well catch on big. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of self-employed doctors, lawyers, and accountants. Oh my! Who don't get what the big deal is about being a solopreneur in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Larry Kelto has worked from home for a long time. Being a writer and editor, that's a pretty sweet arrangement. He still gets to eat his own food from the refrigerator, take a break when it suits him, work late when projects demand something extra, and be a more involved dad to his daughters. That's all on the plus side of the ledger. On the downside, working for yourself can be a lonely pursuit. You spend a lot of time alone in your own head, probably thinking through the challenges of the day and the economy a bit too much. And when the economy is particularly sucky, some self-employed entrepreneurs will be hit the hardest by it. But my friend Larry, and he has been my friend for about a decade now, is always a positive man. It's part of his Minnesota charm and a leading reason for his success. It also led him to believe that there might be a business plan in connecting the very people whose choice of vocation tends to isolate and separate them from the herd. Larry started his website, thesolopreneurlife.com, believing that if the world's self-employed entrepreneurs came together to share their victories and woes, their challenges and innovations, the result would eventually uplift them all. He's also collected many of their stories in an inspiring new ebook and physical book, The Solopreneur Life. 42 sole business owners speak the truth on dreaming big, failing forward, and calling your own shots. Now, regular Mr. Media viewers and listeners will recognize at least one of the 42. It's me, your pal, Mr. Media. Larry Kelto, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob. You know, you've got the best intros in all of media, and I've been looking forward to seeing what you came up with for me. I love it.
Well, I will tell people now, the fact is that Larry actually writes all my intros, and now he's and now he's coming forward to take credit for all of it. So nice job, my friend. So, Larry, what does a guy from Minnesota know about being a self-employed entrepreneur that the rest of us don't?
Probably nothing. It's funny. I don't, in my website, everything I do, all I claim to have is experience from doing this since 1993. And, all I can relate and share are things that have worked and not worked for me or clients. People have to just take it from there. I don't know what that means in terms of expertise.
You're a modest guy. I mean, I can tell people what I know of you from having known you and worked with you for several years. You're a thoughtful guy. You're well organized. You think a few steps ahead, and you don't overreact to stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think those are very good traits for someone who's going to work for himself personally. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's been something that's worked in your favor over the years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I definitely have a real independent streak, and I think that's something you brought up in the book in your answer to why did you start your own business. Just kind of a pretty fierce independent streak and confidence that, that I can do, that I can do a good job. And frankly, I'm not sure I take instruction very well or criticism.
I think that's definitely a trait of the, solopreneur that's common. So Take a minute and explain to folks what you were doing, what your career was before you launched this whole solopreneur thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I started the business in 1993, and primarily what I've done, you'd call it marketing and communications. And all of my business was word of mouth. And, you know, we got into, you know, around 2008, 2009, and I was feeling really vulnerable in that I didn't have any kind of an online presence. And my company name, I did not think lent itself to growth online. The company name is Straight River Media. I just didn't think that would mean anything to anybody. So, you know, I had this idea that I wanted to help people who are self-employed, especially those who are aspiring and new. And, you know, that's how the whole thinking, you know, coming up with a name and the website came about. I remember hearing or seeing the word solopreneur for the first time. It was pretty amazing because my reaction was, yeah, that's what I've been doing for the last 17 years, and here's a word for it. And right about that same time, I read an article, February of 2010, the Wall Street Journal had a story that declared that we are in the age of the solo worker. And they estimated that 23% of people in the workforce are independent, you know, either as freelancers, contractors, you know, free agents, micropreneurs. So, I mean, clearly we've got a large market. And I think maybe one of the biggest things was you and I were both seeing this, Bob, in publishing, that jobs were just melting away. And both of us knew a lot of people who were being thrown into a situation that they were really unfamiliar with.
I know the thing I've said to a lot of friends in journalism, as they've been losing their jobs, that, you know, print, newspaper and magazine jobs, and even electronic jobs have been going away mm-hmm. through consolidation and that type of thing. I mean, but the skills are the skills. It's just a question mm-hmm. of opening your mind to, and I think this is part of what I answered in the book too. It's a point of opening your mind to the fact that your skills, they may have served you well, you know, for journalism, for example, for a while, but you've still got skills. The traditional journalism may have gone away, but there are lots of things you can do with that, and you're a great example of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the form, you know, the form of the media, and yeah, you're absolutely right. There really are no fundamental changes in what we do, you know, the core of what we do, if you're you know, a writer or, you know, in marketing.
So you don't buy the notion that self-employed people want to be left alone?
You know, some do. You know, people come into it for so many different reasons. Some are thrown into it because of economic conditions. Some, you know, they're making some sort of a craft and all of a sudden their friends love it and friends of friends love it and, you know, before they know it, they've got a business. Others are, you know, really methodical about it and have been planning for, you know, many years. Others just do it because they hate living in a cubicle. So, I mean, the variety of motivations is pretty extraordinary. And, you know, the personalities too. You know, you've got some people who yeah, might be, you know, artists or writers and they don't want much interaction. So it really runs a gamut.
Do these people, are they, you know, are they self-loathing? Are they are they antisocial folks? Are they just people who, you know, just chose it? Excuse me, a different path.
Well, I think the self-loathing comes when they recognize how much of what they're going to have to do is marketing. For most people, this is a tremendous shock that 75-80% of their time, at least in the early days, are going to be spent on marketing, have to be spent on marketing. And, you know, most of us, we've existed in a situation where we did our task, but we really didn't think very much about how that job came, you know, came to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone had to sell, someone had to market before we had the opportunity to, you know, write copy or whatever it is. So the, you know, the marketing piece is a huge, huge challenge.
So it's tough for people to realize that we are the product, that it's mm-hmm. not just somebody who owns a retail shop that has to market, but if you've got a service, even if you're working out of your living room studio, as mm-hmm. I am here with the whorehouse red walls, you know,
which I love, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, that's that you are your own product, and a lot of people just don't really get that, which I guess is why a lot there are certainly plenty of people who the self-employed life, the solopreneur life doesn't work for, right?
Yeah, you know, I would say it's going to be difficult, or it's more difficult for people who crave privacy and are uncomfortable with the transparency that comes with everything that goes on, you know, online. I think that's something you have to get past that, because you know, you are your brand for the most part.
My own brother is a disc jockey up in New Jersey, party disc jockey, and he does nightclubs and stuff. And he has a problem with that. I mean, he's been mm-hmm. self-employed, had this business for 20 years now. He's very good at it, but mm-hmm. as the marketing of the business has switched from yellow page ads to online, right? He struggles with that because he worries a lot about his identity online, and
yeah,
you know, he doesn't advertise his address because, you know, he works from home in a sense. He doesn't have an office or a retail store, so mm-hmm. I mean, he's very concerned about that. So, you know, how does someone deal with that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the best thing to do, I think you have to. You have to accept it, but you also can set up, you know, ways to monitor what's happening, you know, how you're being mentioned, how you're being talked about. And I think that's just critical. And I've gotten to the point where, you know, the monitoring that I do, you know, I check that at least once a day, especially with, you know, with a product coming out. Because you have to know what the conversation is.
I had thought all this time that solopreneur was a word that you invented, but I guess from what you said earlier, that was not the case. You heard it mm-hmm. somewhere and made
yeah.
you kind of made it yours.
Yeah, it came right about that same time that I read that Wall Street Journal article. It was early February, about the first week of February. Right after RCMA, that I saw the word for the first time, and I, you know, did quite a bit of research on it, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it originated, but what I did see was that it was an emerging term, and one that I didn't think anybody owned it, in a sense of you know, having a brand that dominated with that word.
Now, have you trademarked the word?
Yes.
Good
the
man.
Solopreneur life. The solopreneur life is what I trademarked.
Okay. You didn't trademark yeah. solopreneur.
No, I don't think that would have flown. I really don't.
Okay. I would have tried.
Yeah.
I think I would have tried. And after
yeah.
people see this, I think I'd really want to go out and try.
Good point.
How has the it began as a website. The website obviously came before the book. How has
right.
the website evolved since you started it, and how has it taken on a little bit of life of its own?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one role that I see for myself and for the website is to experiment and try different things and you know, relate, tell people what worked and what didn't. So you know, kind of on the fringes or on the edges, things are changing with it all the time. Just in terms of the tools that I'm using, and I suppose the appearance has changed a little bit. I mean, the core of what I'm doing really hasn't changed much at all. There's probably more about marketing than there was at the beginning, mm-hmm. Just because you know, a recognition on my part that's what people probably need the most.
So tell us, like in a given week, there are the interviews. right? You still doing the profiles?
Yeah, I've given those a break, but I'll be starting back with those in 2012. But generally, I would write maybe 2 to 3 articles on average a week. And you know, one thing that was interesting that I found was I think I'm going to settle into with the website, settle into a pattern where it'll almost take on sort of a seasonal feel, where my really heavy lifting will be in the fall and the winter and early spring, and then back off a little bit on the summer in the summertime.
And how did you determine that?
Just with my, it just fit me and my life and what goes on with that. You know, sometimes you get so wrapped up in what you're doing, what your work is, that you kind of forget about, you know, what was the reason I went into this in the first place. And that was to be able to, you know, have a lifestyle that included, you know, a family life. Because, you know, originally, the reason why I went into business by myself was I was editing a newspaper, a daily newspaper, morning paper. And, you know, it was noon to midnight, and I never saw my wife. And, you know, that just wasn't sustainable.
And I hear so those were the happiest days of her life. Sorry. Only a friend would talk to a friend like this, folks. I don't advise you to talk to Larry like this.
So yeah, that was the original motivation, and so the funny thing is, you know, you think you're so important and people hang on everything that you write, but my traffic didn't change at all. If anything, it went up in the summer when I wasn't writing as frequently.
Thank you, fans and listeners. Yeah,
yes,
great.
Very, very humbling.
Great. And so, okay, so let's talk about this. So down along the bottom here, right under Larry's chin, is the solopreneurlife.com. You can go to the site. So give people an idea of what kind of things they can find on the site. What will they find useful there?
Yeah, I would say, you know, anything that has to do with running your business. There are quite a few reviews on there of different products, articles about, you know, trademarking. There's one up there right now that went up today about trademarking and law, you know, marketing stuff, the features, featured soloists, features, interviews with solopreneurs. It's funny, one of the most popular, by far, I would say the most popular article at the site is one about how to use Evernote, a really in-depth story on how to use Evernote. And that story is way at the top for Evernote searches. So, you know, huge traffic on something like that. So it's a pretty wide variety. I also have the Evernote story that was a guest author. So I'm very open to having people with, you know, specific expertise come in and write, because, you know, I'm not going to write about accounting or, you know, trademarking.
I don't know. I mean, don't undersell your stuff. I've heard you talk about accounting, and I think you are brilliant at explaining, you know, the art of next year's tax deductions and last year's carryover kind of stuff.
Our conversations, you and I, have been about collections.
Yeah. Well, and there you go. That's probably something that your readers want to know the most about. How do I collect
I wrote an article about collections, and that's one of the biggest for traffic also. Mm.
Now, I want to talk to you about the book in a minute, but I'm just kind of curious. Your dad's a minister, right?
Yeah, he passed away in 2004, but that's right. He was a minister. Right. And I wrote a column or an article about him. I guess I call them articles instead of posts. But wrote an article about him the summer of 2010. And I wrote about the things I learned about marketing through observing what he did in his work. And it wasn't anything that I thought about, of course, at the time when I was growing up. But in retrospect, I could see that in some ways, He was a solopreneur. He had a lot in common with what I do.
Well, and that's what I was wondering. I was thinking about the people who might have influenced you to feel confident enough to go out on your own and do this yourself. And thinking about a minister, I mean, that's a kind of vocation where people don't really think about it as someone who's self-employed, but correct me if I'm wrong. You are. I mean, you pretty much, you go from church to church or whatever the organization might be, and you have to settle in. You have to sell yourself to a new congregation each time, and you have to sell the religion, so to speak.
Right.
And I don't mean to say this in a cheap way.
No, not at all.
But it's what it's about, right? I mean, that's what.
Absolutely. You know, the in essence, I think most of them are free agents to a certain degree. You know, it varies by denomination how much freedom you have. But yeah, a lot of it is matching up the congregation and their needs with specific strengths of a minister. But I think essentially what they're doing is they're trying to build community and build connections among people. And I had an epiphany, a year and a half ago, where I saw that what I was doing, was the same thing in essence. As what he always did.
Interesting. And you're certainly building community now.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And that's what I thrive on, actually.
All right, so let's... before I talk about the book, were there other people in the course of your life who gave you good role models as far as being self-employed or being what now you would call solopreneurs? Or was it mostly your dad?
I think it was mostly him. Nobody really. Well, I would say there was a period when I was working in newspapers, where I was hearing about. I had some acquaintances who were out on their own, and I actually wrote about one of them last week, Paul Grucco, and that really fascinated me that they could be making a living writing, and I just that had so much appeal and so much pull. That just hearing that it could be done was quite interesting to me.
All right, so now, finally, let's talk about the book.
Mm-hmm.
I know how excited you were to get this done. I was delighted to be interviewed. I was interviewed for the website, and then, of course, you collected those into the book.
Right.
Tell me about some of the other people. You have 42 in there. I'm one.
Yeah.
So tell us a little about some of the other 41.
Wow. Yeah, they come from, I think it's 20 states, quite a few from Canada. There are several from Australia, one from England. Their amount of experience, their amount of success, I think the variety is pretty amazing. And that's what I tried to do. I think the entire book could have been written about coaches or something like that, because they're pretty easy to find, but I tried to find people from different backgrounds. For example, there were a couple who are artists, and the perspective they bring to it is really exceptional. I think it really stands out, and when they talk about their success came when they accepted what their art should be, when they stopped trying to imitate other styles or be something that they weren't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lesson that solopreneurs can take from people who have more of an artistic bent and creative bent, and where originality is important.
There are, I think, 11 questions that you ask everyone in the book. And not everyone's answers is in a chapter, but a lot of them are some. So you people notice that some chapters are a little heavier on answers, some are a little lighter. But for and like the first question is, why did you start your business? Obvious question, and then they get more detailed from there. Of the 11 questions, what was the one that was toughest? That would be toughest for you to answer?
Oh wow, toughest one for me to answer. Maybe what I would do differently, because I'm really not a retrospective person. When I worked in newspapers, that edition went to press, and I That's the last I thought about it. And I don't tend to rethink past decisions at all. They just don't even pop into my mind. So what would I do differently? I'd really have to think hard about that one.
That's interesting. I think I've told you this before, and I think you've seen this with me. One of the things that evolved with me over the years of being a writer and an editor was giving up going back and rereading something that had appeared in print.
Oh, gee.
Once it appeared, that was it.
It's gone. Yeah, exactly.
It was just no point in getting upset about it. And younger people don't have that experience. You know, they're hanging on their every word. That's the thing. One of the things I would try to do differently is I would try to save all the angst and the aggravation that was reading something after it appeared.
Right.
And that's not really a business thing. But in retrospect, actually, it was kind of a business thing in that it would have saved me a lot of time and a lot of hurt feelings and maybe a few relationships. By the way, I want to do my best here to hold up. This is what the solopreneur life looks like on the Kindle. I don't have the Fire yet. This is just the Kindle. So just so folks can see it, we'll try
to. You want me to hold up the physical version, Bob?
Yeah, let's see it. Yeah, and bring it up a little higher.
Okay.
There we go. A little over that way. The other way. Yeah, there you go. Now everybody can see it.
Perfect.
And we'll by the time this appears, we'll have shown it. We'll have shown some slides of it. But I didn't actually have the physical copy. I only had the e-copy.
I was curious. I don't know how long have you been doing this, Bob?
I'll ask the questions here, Kelto.
Okay.
I've been. I graduated college. Now, don't anybody. Everybody just kind of pretend you don't hear this date, but I mean, I graduated college in 82, and I had already been freelancing since I was 13.
Oh, my goodness.
I've had two full-time jobs in my life. One lasted 6 months. One lasted 9 months.
Wow.
And out of the last year and a half of college and the first year or two being on my own, I was a substitute rural mail carrier.
Oh, my gosh.
And other than that...
Did you drive on the – was your wheel on the right side?
I guess the statute of limitations is up. You drove – as a rural carrier, you drove your own car. And so, yeah, there were times where I drove the opposite direction because it was easier to put the mail in the box from the driver's side rather than to reach all the way across. But, yeah, so – but, I mean, I'll only mention that because those are really the only jobs I've had where I've been on someone's payroll.
You've really got it in your bones, and I think in our generation, you would have been, you know, somewhat unique, original, or you know, unusual, and I would be too. But it's funny what I'm observing, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but it seems to me that Generation Y is really hardwired for entrepreneurship. Because I don't think they have any expectations of working for a company for any period of time. You know, they've probably seen their parents or, you know, friends, other family members, you know, get laid off, they don't have any expectation in that way. And I think the tools that they've been using since they could talk give them an independence that we never really thought about very much.
I was invited to speak at the University of South Florida about a month or two ago. A friend of mine's a journalism professor there, and he said that the kids in the campus Society of Professional Journalists, SPJ, were asking him, you know, they have speaker come in, I guess, once a month, and were asking him, begging him to find a freelancer to come in and talk to them. Because they see so many layoffs, and they realize that unlike the last generation, there's no jobs waiting for them when they get out. So suddenly, you know, something like what we do, which you know might have been disreputable a few years ago, you know, they look at it and go, you know, oh my God, I'd never do that. Now suddenly they're realizing, which is what I said when we started, you have these certain skills, they can be applied in different ways. And so I was talking to them about that. Yeah, you know, you can. There's still. You can write for online publications, you can write for TV, you can write for radio, you can write books, you can write ebooks, but you can also do you know, corporate writing, you can do, there's plenty of businesses that need things written all the time. There's
right.
private individuals who want to hire people to help them write a book, tell their life story. Those mm-hmm. things never change. And I assume, you know, if I was in a different line of work, with the economy having been the way it's been for 3 years now, I would be looking for other ways to apply my skills, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. Same kind of thing. But yeah, I'm you know, I've the irony is, Larry, I haven't mentioned this to you off, you know, off the show, but I actually interviewed about 3 or 4 weeks ago and did a tryout for something that would be a full-time job. And it was
okay.
something that just landed in my lap. It spoke to me so well. I won't know for a while. I'm not jumping up and down because it would be such a change of pace, but mm-hmm. it seemed to fit very well. So ironically, wow. here I am talking to you about this, but for the first time in, let's see, the last full-time job I had was the year I got married. It was 88.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while. So, you know, now that I've
wow, seen- that would be really interesting to, if you did that, to chronicle the progress, because that's one thing that I really haven't done at the website, and it's something that I would like to do, and that is, when do you give up? I mean, when do you say, I'm not suited for this, I don't have the skills or the temperament, or I'm just not, don't have enough expertise in my field. When do you punt, you know? When do you go to something else, and why? And that's not something I've explored, but it's something that I've begun to think about a little bit, because you're now hearing stories of people who have gone into this sort of lifestyle and are leaving it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not for everyone. I mean, we have to be straight about that. It's not
right.
for everyone. So, you know, you're probably right to think about having a section for people who are finding that it's not working for them, and to be realistic.
Right.
You know.
Well, and that's, you know, it's I think one of the main reasons I did this book, or put it into, you know, to a book form, and was that every day I just see so much you know, garbage out there that is being sold, or, you know, attempting to sell to solopreneurs, and, you know, all the false promises, and you know, 6 figures in 6 months, and people who have the word system and millionaire in their Twitter bio, you know, man, it is a minefield, I think, for solopreneurs.
People are desperate for, you know, something that will fix their lives at this point. Things have been so bad
right.
for so many people for so long.
That's right. So, I mean, they're being preyed upon to a certain extent.
Last question, I guess, pretty much the last thing. Being self-employed, speaking of the pitfalls, it can be difficult for a marriage. Do you mm-hmm. guys work through that? Is this a comfortable fit for your wife, or does she worry from time to time, you know, gee, Larry, are you going to bring in enough to keep bread on the table, or what?
Yeah, I don't – I think it's something she's always really liked, you know, that – because she values the flexibility a lot, and the amount of time that can be spent with the family. So she's never had any kind of problem with it. There was a period of time where we were both business owners, and I think I was more nervous about that than she ever was. But she's not in that situation anymore, so that's not really a concern. But it's funny, her grandparents started a business in the early 1950s. And it was a cleaning business, and they were incredibly successful with it. And so she, growing up, saw a model for that kind of life. So it didn't scare her at all.
You're a lucky man. Well,
yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, folks, listen, you can find Larry Kelto's book. You can order it as a physical book on Amazon.com or the ebook. It's The Solopreneur Life. 42 sole business owners speak the truth on dreaming big, failing forward, and calling your own shots. And is it in all ebook places?
The easiest way to find it would be at Amazon. Just search either Kelto, K-E-L-T-T-O, mm-hmm. or Solopreneur, and the Kindle version and the print version are going to pop right up. Other than that, you can go to the solopreneurlife.com/the book, and there are a couple other ways you can buy it in the EPUB format.
Okay, and just so folks know, if you find this on MrMedia.com, you're probably seeing the ad for it right there on the page, so you can always get it at a great price right now at MrMedia.com. okay, so this thesolopreneurlife.com. Are you on Twitter and Facebook as well?
Yeah, it's both. Larry_Kelto at Twitter, and let's see, The Solopreneur Life at Facebook.
Very good. Well, Larry, you know, I consider you a very good friend, a very long-time friend. We always have a good time. Susie's on you next time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us in Mr. Media today, and continued good luck.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Good to see you, Larry. Bye-bye. For more original interviews, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Another good idea, download our new free Mr. Media mobile app in the Android market. And you can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of the Internet. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line at 1-727-498-4711. Some messages may be used in an upcoming show. And unless you live next door to Mr. Media, there may be a toll charge. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube and Vimeo video channels. Thanks so much for joining us today. I always appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Hi, this is Guy Kawasaki. You're listening to Mr. Media, you poor slob.
Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it. It's free. Takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code MrMedia, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening.